Welcome everyone to the channel. I am Manali and I am here with Zach today. Zach and I met at an online podcast summit 2 years ago when I was just getting started, and he introduced me to the whole idea of content editing. Zach, also known as the podcast man, has been providing tips for podcasts to level up their audio game. And this is what the chat is going to be about. Welcome, Zach. Welcome to the channel.
Manali, thank you for having me. And I remember that when we met a couple of years ago, or like a few years ago almost, right? And look, who has a public podcast and actually a video podcast first? It's you. It's not me. So look at you go. I'm happy to be here, my friend. Thank you for having me.
So the thing with me is I actually wanted to do a video podcast, but I was way too shy and nervous, so I got into audio. And then over a period of time, I just somehow gained confidence, and here I am on video. So that's the whole thing about me. But Zach, for those who are listening and watching, tell us what this whole idea of content editing is all about.
Yeah, well, just a little side note, I really like what you said, and I think that goes true with like every entrepreneur and creator, is like you just have to do it and practice, and then you gain more confidence. And a lot of podcasters are like that with video. So just practice getting out there and getting better every time. I love that. So kudos to you, my friend. And so content editing, it started really with audio editing and podcasting, but it's interesting that we're talking about this more as content editing now, because it's so much more than just audio now, right? It's video too. Whether it's the full video of the episode or whether it's chunks of the episode as separate YouTube videos, or maybe it's just short clips, 30-second, 1-minute clips, they need to be edited differently, right? And editing is a bit different for audio and video too. There's a different technique to it. Video is a little more forgiving sometimes because we also have the video aspect to look at, but audio editing is a little more meticulous because you're just straight into the listener's ears. You don't want too many of these weird noises or pauses or mouth noises, things like
but
that.
But the thing with audio is, in my experience, you can pick up words, place them at some other place, and people don't even understand. You can just recreate the whole answer based off, you know, picking up words and placing them here and there.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with video.
That's a really good point, Manali. So you have to be a little more meticulous with audio editing, but audio editing at the end of the day is easier. And it is cool how we can rearrange things like a puzzle, right? Like we've probably both done that where somebody jumbles a sentence, they repeat it, and then you're kind of like, okay, I have this to work with. Like sentence A is kind of like jumbled near the end. Sentence B, they actually started off kind of jumbled. So it's like, okay, how do we put these together? We can use some of the technology like crossfade to get words to mix together. And it's fun. I mean, maybe it's just fun for nerds like us. I don't know, but it's not fun for our clients. That's why they hire us, right?
So basically what I recall from your presentation back during the summit is you mentioned audio editing is not just ums, ahs, and, you know, all the voice noises which make the hearing experience poor. It's more about giving an experience that is complete, that puts across your message. And, you know, you also need to make someone sound confident, like despite them, you know, being nervous on the call and, you know, using filler words unconsciously or subconsciously. You know, content editing is more of, content editing is more of doing all those, incorporating all of that in your edits. Am I recalling it right, or is there something I miss and you'd like to add on?
I think that's perfect the way you said it. And I think this is, I think this is more important now than ever, because now we have a lot of AI and different technologies where we can just throw the audio in and supposedly, ta-da, 5 minutes later, it's completely edited. But really the thing is, sometimes those ums and especially those spaces, sometimes those are actually part of the story. So we have to be careful nowadays when we use these different technologies, AI, these types of programs and plugins where we throw the audio in and it, for example, just rips out all of the silences and the gaps. And that leaves it sounding almost like robotic or like YouTube style. YouTube traditionally does have that style where the edits are like super tight. And it probably, just like you said at the beginning of our call, that probably has a lot to do with the fact that that's video. So if you leave in these gaps, then you get the person's face like looking off into some weird spot. So they kind of have to edit tighter. Whereas audio, a lot of times the pauses, the ums, it's telling part of the story. And then you're right, to make the host, the guest, the co-host, everybody, all the participants on the call sound confident and really get their story across, we need to be paying attention to more than just chopping out the ums and the ah. It just kind of really helping them tell the story that best helps them shine in the episode. I think that's a lot of the post-production. Of course, the pre-production has a lot to do with it too, like having a good mic like you have there and a good room to record in. I'm just jibber jabbering, but the pre-production has a lot to do with it too, and yeah, telling the story right, for sure.
It does. So while we were editing, how do you balance creativity and technical precision?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And this is, from one standpoint, the question is like technical. And from another standpoint, it's like, how do you concentrate on both? Because I've been editing before where the episode is so engaging that I actually forget to edit for precision. I'm just leaving in all the ums and the ahs and the spaces because the story has me so engaged. And I think that actually speaks for itself there, that sometimes leaving it more natural is actually the right thing to do. I mean, you can tell if it goes overboard with a big or a ah, or like somebody's cat comes in and like knocks over the microphone or something. So then you know it's like an edit that absolutely needs to be done editing. So nobody's ever asked me that question. What a sweet question. I love that.
You know, what I tell my clients is, if you, most of them, when they're just beginning, you don't know if your content is good enough or it's boring, right? So one of the things I tell them is, ask your editor, because that is the only person probably in the beginning who's listening to your complete episode. They can give you an honest and fair answer to your question if your content is good enough. Okay, so my next question to you is, as an audio editor, you have ears tuned to audio. So for someone who's beginning a podcast show, what are the basic steps they need to follow to have a clean sounding audio?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We kind of touched on this before where I got excited and started jumping ahead about the, I think it all starts really in the pre-production. So exactly. Mm-hmm. Which microphone are you using? Are you recording in a room that has little to no echo, which is really more like reverb, but everybody understands the word echo more than reverb, so we just say echo. But you can do the clap test, you know, and if there's a big like reverb or a big sound after your clap, you know, like, uh-oh, this room might not be great to record in. So then if you're doing a long distance episode, using a program like you're using, Manali, Riverside, that's really good for long distance remote recording. If you are recording solo or with people in the same room, using a good local recording program like GarageBand or Audacity, something like that. And then you're going to have good sound going in and proper mic technique too. Like, Manali, you're close to the mic. You're not speaking straight into it, because then you would be getting these like pop noises and the like too much bass and low noise, We're speaking into it at an angle, but we're not getting too far away from it because we have dynamic mics. So just whatever type of mic you have, ideally it's a dynamic mic, knowing how to use it too. And you can start off with a $70 Samsung Q2U mic or whatever you want, you know, as long as you test it and your audio editor says it's okay. Or if you don't have an audio editor, you test it and you listen back and you compare that to, you know, other podcasts in the industries just to make sure that you're getting a good sound. So that's kind of making sure that you have good audio going in is really going to help the editor.
You covered the pre-recording, the pre-production stage. Now we are moving to post-production stage. What are the technical jargons, the audio editing jargons people should know of before they get on their audio file and, you know, start editing?
So we're definitely going to want to make sure that we're, you know, Riverside has it figured out, but in Zoom, make sure you have your settings correct so you get separate files for each participant, no matter what program you're using. Make sure you have the correct microphone chosen when you're in the recording, you know, and make sure that everybody's using headphones if it's a long-distance remote recording. Just those types of things are going to make a world of difference in making sure that you're getting good audio. Nowadays, too, let's think about the video, right? Like, what type of background do we have? Is the lighting okay? And then, you know, these things that seem obvious, but we forget all the time anyway. Like, I never record episodes on Tuesdays because the gardener people are outside with their blowers and everything making noise. So that's kind of like the during recording stuff. And then post-production stuff. Do we want to talk about nerdy, like, editing stuff too?
Yeah, sure.
We do?
Yeah.
We do.
You are the audio podcast man. That's why I got you. Talk about the audio stuff.
Oh, you shouldn't have gotten me started because, so just when my time is up on this one, just go, okay, so I'll know when to stop.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I've been given the green light by Manali, and that's probably a scary thing because editing is my forte, and I have been doing it since high school and in college, editing spots for local politicians, so I got really good at cutting out ums and ahs and boring stuff, but I digress. With editing, what you're going to want to do is make sure that you have a good DAW, which is a funny word, a DAW, digital audio workstation or workspace.
Workstation. I can't remember.
Thank you. That's why we have Manali around, because she knows what she's talking about. Workstation, yeah. Digital audio workstation. So it can be simple. You know, if you have a Mac, GarageBand comes included. If you have a Windows, like a PC, you can use Audition. Or even Audacity. Adobe Audacity is free. Hindenburg is really good. And at Podcast Movement last year, the Hindenburg people showed me how beautiful it is. And I still use Logic Pro. But I was convinced to switch to Hindenburg because it looked so amazing for podcast interview editing. So I would try that one. There's a bunch of options, but as long as you use at least you could start with the basic one, and then you could either, yeah, exactly. Then you level up as you go, because as you level up, there's going to be more powerful tools. Like when I leveled up from GarageBand to Logic Pro, I was introduced to some amazing tools like the Crossfade tool, which if there's like an internet glitch and the word goes like the is, you know, the word stops in the middle. We've all heard that. With the crossfade, you can kind of put those two together. So instead of getting the is, you get this. This is what you get. So there's a lot of neat tools. And this is the type of nerdy stuff that Manali and I like to talk about and get excited about. A lot of people don't like this stuff, or even if they like it, they don't have time for it, which is why they hire people like us, entrepreneurs or are busy people in general. But really just focus on not worrying as much about over-editing. You don't want to worry about editing out every or ah like we talked about before, but just keeping the natural flow of the conversation. And when you're doing those edits, be careful that there's not weird cuts between words where the breath changes. I've noticed that.
So, Zach, could you also like double click in on the, compression and normalization and a bit of that, so that you can different people who are listening and getting started can differentiate between what these terms are?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even talk about the plugins. I just talked about like the technical edits, right? So plugins, and here we can have like a little put a sound effect.
What's your favorite plugin?
Pow, pow, pow. So a couple plugins I use on every episode. One of them is, so I have Isotope RX11, which is a program that is basically packed with a bunch of plugins. And excuse me, so plugins, what they're going to do is basically going to help you make the audio sound beautiful. So I have that incorporated into Logic Pro X. And my favorite one is the mouth de-click. So it gets rid of the mouth noises. And it really does an amazing job the way it gets rid of the mouth noises without compromising the audio. So with the plugins, you have to be careful. And I've seen this with some of these AI programs where you just throw things in, like Adobe Speech Enhance is a perfect example. Like that thing can do wonders, but it can also overdo it and make things sound kind of robotic or fake. So with the plugin, the name of the game is using it to the extent that it needs to be used, but not overdoing it. Because if you overdo it, then it's going to compromise the original audio. So one example is the de-esser, which is just like it sounds. It gets rid of the S sounds. So if you're interviewing any snakes, you don't have to worry about having too many. Exactly. So now if Manali uses the de-esser, you won't even hear what she just did. But the de-esser is a perfect example where if you overdo it, then it cuts out too much of that S sound, and it actually becomes kind of hard to understand the participants on the episode because that S sound is kind of taken away too much. And if you're like driving in a car or something where there's a lot of unwanted noise, maybe around those same frequencies, it kind of takes away an important element of the voice that we need to hear to understand the words. So like, don't overdo it with these plugins, but definitely do use them. Mouth de-clicker, de-esser, yeah, compression, definitely important for having everything leveled out. So you're going to want to set the compressor to the podcast standard listening loudness level, which is like negative 16 lufs, which is a fancy word for basically loudness level. And it's not called volume because volume is something that we change on our end. Loudness is like that base level of loudness. So the compressor is going to, it's going to bring up the quiet parts and it's going to knock down the parts that are too loud, and it's going to basically compress it into a nice little package. And that way, if people are listening to your podcast in the car, for example, and maybe the episode ends and they're like, I want to go listen to the radio now. When they switch to the radio, if you didn't have your episode correctly leveled out and compressed, maybe they'll switch to the radio and it'll like blow out their speakers, you know, because your podcast episode was too quiet. So the compressor is very important. Some people use plugins inside their DAW, and other people also use I still use sometimes one that's called Auphonic Leveler. So it's basically a separate program that will help level out your episode. So the loudness level is super important. Whether you use a plugin for the compressor or like a standalone app. And then, you know, equalization is, I guess, the last thing I'll talk your ear off about. Is it's really
also
important.
Normalization.
Normalization, yeah. So compression and normalization are kind of like cousins, but they are different in their own right, too.
When I got started, it was very confusing for me.
And if you're DIYing it, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with really saying, I don't know, I'm not going to worry about compression and normalization and everything, and I'm just going to use a phonic leveler or something like that. If you use that one, by the way, and you're planning on using it for at least a few months, definitely get just the desktop version so you're not paying monthly, because you can just buy that app one time and then you have it on your computer. But yeah, that's a good point. Normalization, so compression, yeah, that's going to really take care of like those louder, like if I get really excited and I laugh really loud right now, it's going to maybe, without compression, it would maybe shock the listener, because if I'm talking, maybe I'm talking quietly and then all of a sudden I have a booming laugh, like you say something funny. Without compression, that the listener is going to be like, oh my goodness, you know, like, and if they're driving, you don't want somebody like jumping and so compression is important. Normalization, that's more along the lines of smoothing everything out, right? So it's all at that correct loudness level. So it's not super easy to explain, but that in a nutshell, that's kind of it. And 30 seconds on the equalization, the only thing I'll say there, because it's easier to show than explain, but like Manali and I have different voices, as you may be able to tell. So with her voice, you know, although we're both using good mics, so there's not too much equalization that needs to be done, but if she were using her laptop mic or something like that, we would really have to worry about cutting out like some of the harsher sounds in the equalization. So with equalization, I always find where if there's, you know, maybe too much of a bass sound, if I were too close to the mic, it would be like warbly, like blah, 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 blah. But I'm at the correct distance from the mic, so it should be dandy. But for the sake of the example, if I were way too close to the mic and Manali were way too far from her mic, there's different types of cuts or even small additions maybe on the equalization, the EQ, that we would have to do to balance each other out. So that way we each sound pleasing to the ear of the listener. So that's EQ in just a quick nutshell. And for the most part, that's kind of what I use on my episodes, yeah, as far as plugins go.
Okay. And, you know, suppose somebody's editing their own episode, and when you're editing your own episode, of course, you hear it multiple times and you're more conscious because it's your voice, it's your episode, and you're going to be judged in a way. So give us some ear protection tips so that we don't damage our ears by constantly listening to audio.
Ah, ear protection tips. Yeah, I think.
What do you do? I think being an audio editor for 8 years, you must have figured out something, because wearing headphones, it just jams your this portion.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that you kind of said two things at once. Is that first off, if you're listening to your own voice, that's like a whole other monster, right? They've done studies why when we hear our own voice back, we're like, who the heck is that? That's not my voice, you know, because we're so used to hearing our own voice as the way that it's reverberating through our own skull, you know, because if you plug your ears and you talk, you can, a lot of what we hear from our own voice is actually inside our head, which vibrates around. And yeah, there's science behind it. And that's why when we hear our voice back, we usually say, because even my voice, I can feel it vibrating through my chest, you know. But when I hear my voice back through speakers or through headphones, I'm like, that's not my voice. It sounds more empty. It doesn't sound as full and as rich. So that's one thing to keep in mind, that your voice, it's probably beautiful. Don't be hard on yourself. You know, I'm talking to you, listener. Manali, your voice is good. Good voice for a podcaster. So and good mic too. That makes a big difference, as we talked about. But here's a great question you had there about protecting your ears and just kind of like your listening sanity too, because you're listening to audio all day, right? We are, you know, like, this goes for audio editors. This goes for content creators. Entrepreneurs listen to consume a lot of content to be able to create their content.
But they at least back. They listen on loud. We're listening through earphones, headphones, mm-hmm. and those wired wireless earphones, Bluetooth ones. Yeah. So give us some tips.
Yeah. So be careful with the Bluetooth. I'm glad you brought that up, because Bluetooth can, well, for one, they can die. You know, the batteries can die, which I've seen that happen a couple times during interviews. So be careful there. Random side tip, because I just thought of like batteries dying. I have my phone plugged in. I'm using my iPhone as the webcam, which is kind of a nice quick little side video tip. Because my webcam doesn't look as good as my phone's camera. So if you have an iPhone, I'm sure an Android can do it too, but side video tip, maybe we can just edit that in the beginning of the episode or something. I think it works here too. We're on the tip section. But yeah, this is a good question. And what I would say is, if you're going to be listening to audio a lot or all day, what I would do is use super comfy headphones like these ones. These are the Sennheiser HD 600s. And these are actually open back. I'm showing people. So if you're listening on audio and you're like, what is he doing? So I'm showing the people who are watching that the sides of these are not closed. So they're called open back headphones. I don't know why they're not called open sides. They're called open back, because it's the back of the spot where the speakers are. That must be why. And what this does when it's open back headphones is it gives you more of an accurate sound, because the sound that's coming into the headphones or out of the headphones into your ears is not like bouncing around and stuck inside the headphones. It's allowed to, like, quote unquote, breathe a little more. And the other thing is, with these open back headphones, the way I would explain it, for me at least, my experience is, it feels like my ears are not like suffocated in here, because if I were to hold these up to the light, you could probably like see my ear. Like if we put a flashlight into them, you could probably see my ear in there, because there's no like hard pieces of plastic or anything trapping my ear inside. So I think that allows my ears to breathe, which over the long term, you know, of the day, it lessens my ear fatigue. So I think something like that, definitely over-ear headphones and not on-ear, because if they're on-ear, they're like, at least for me, I don't like that feeling when they're on-ear. They're like sticking my ears to the side of my skull, you know, and my ears are like stuck there. And so the open back, over-ear, and there's, you know, I've seen this type of headphones also for under $100, good quality. But yeah, for like podcast interviews, I think it's good to have, like, you're using earbuds, which is good too, because then your visual appearance depends on what you like. I like to put on these big awkward things, but for sometimes, stereotypically, I've seen my female clients, a lot of times they prefer to have earbuds because it's a little more visually nice as far as the presentation. But for editing and like long-term all-day work, I would probably avoid earbuds, just because they're like inside your ear and they're going to give a little more fatigue. And just in general,
infections maybe.
Yeah, that's true too. Like the bacteria can, I mean, if you're in your own room, you're probably okay. But like going to the gym and stuff, this is kind of a tangent, but I don't like to use earbuds because, you know, then I'm like touching the equipment and I'm touching my ears. And you're totally right about that, the ear infection thing. So, just be careful with like long-term use, and especially high volume use of earbuds that go inside the ear.
Cool. And what about music? Like, do you have a tip on, you know, how podcasters can incorporate music in their episodes?
Yeah, that's a great question. This one's a lot of fun too. I've thought about dipping my toes into actually the profession called like sound design. So that's like another step above audio editing and podcast editing, because then what I would be doing is adding different layers of music and sections to like change the mood or to break up the different segments or to put a certain feeling underneath a section, or sound effects, you know, stuff like that. I do a little bit of that, but for the most part, and this is the main part of this answer is just, it depends on what type of podcast you have. My clients are 95% entrepreneurs. So really the main focus of the episodes is the content. And it's not as much about creating like a soundscape per se. Like if you have a true crime or like a horror podcast or something, or like a deep storytelling podcast, then the sound design, the music, the sound effects, it can make, you know, then you almost need it as part of the story. But for most of our clients who are, entrepreneurs, and they're giving out these gold nuggets, getting across the tips and the information, kind of like this podcast, really the main part is, if you are going to have music, just making sure that it aligns with your brand, right? So if you have like an upbeat, happy brand, you know, maybe the music can match that. Or if you have more of like a corporate type of podcast, you can always go to these royalty-free websites like pond5.com, audiojungle.net, and type in like corporate music, you know, and then they'll give you examples of inspirational, upbeat music. But I've seen the trend these days, though, a lot of times where people don't even have music, you know, they'll just say, welcome to the podcast and let's get into it. Because really, in these types of podcasts, informational podcasts done by entrepreneurs, oftentimes for other entrepreneurs, or maybe lifestyle podcasts, these types of things, people really want to get into the nitty gritty and the information. So my tip would be, if you do have music for most types of podcasts, just have it be a short segment just to set the mood, and maybe to just distinguish between the intro and the actual episode. Again, some people are just doing like a transition sound effect, like a whoosh, like whoosh kind of thing, you know. So in this case, long story short would be, a lot of times less is more.
That's an excellent advice, Zach. Now we come to, you know, skills that podcasters need to make their podcast a success. So what skills do you think they need to start building or stacking as they progress on their podcasting journey?
I would say a big part of success as a podcaster would be to make sure that you have time to commit to creating amazing content that aligns with your brand and that has a strategy for the end game, which in your case, as an entrepreneur, if you're an entrepreneur listening to this, you have like two big, I was like, my two fingers were outside of the video frame. There we go. Two big goals. One of them is your why, and this is what has to drive everything. And then your other why is, how is it going to make you money? Because we also need to pay for the mortgage or the rent and eat food. And we need money too. So how is your podcast serving your business? And just remember too, your podcast is, in most cases, it's not like the main goal of your business. It's part of the funnel, right? It's part of your business. But your main goal is probably to get people on discovery calls with you, or get people to buy your book, or to get people to join your small group coaching or your community. That's the big business why, and your podcast is part of that journey. So I would say really focusing on creating content that's going to focus on that, those two things, your big why, which is probably how are you helping people? Not always, but you know, that's usually one of the big whys. And then also, how is it serving your business? And just don't forget, my friend, listener, the importance of networking, getting on other podcasts, creating connections, because I've never seen a podcast succeed that has just been in like a vacuum with like tunnel vision of, I'm just doing this on my own. I don't need anybody to help. I don't need to collaborate with anybody. You know, that just doesn't work, because we all need to work together and rise together. So the community part is really key as well. So those are just a few. I mean, that question, I could probably talk for like an hour, but that's just a couple maybe tidbits that could help podcasters, whether they're starting or whether they maybe have plateaued or kind of they're looking for new direction. Hopefully those ideas can help.
It definitely will, Zach. You know, if it's an audio-only podcast, the popular trend to promote these episodes is audiogram. But audiograms have become too common now, and they don't drive a lot of engagement in my experience. So what has your experience been like? How do you promote audio episodes?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of sad that, just to be dramatic, let's just say audiograms are dead. I put in my own echo, but I don't think they're completely dead. But you know what I've seen that's kind of fun with audiograms is, you've probably seen some of our colleagues do this too, Manali, is like explainer videos where it's audio, but then there's like little, not necessarily like cartoons, but maybe little graphics that are kind of going along with the audio and explaining. I've seen that to be a little more engaging than an audiogram, because now people see an audiogram and they kind of see the squiggly waveform and they see the progress bar and they're kind of like, okay, we've kind of been there. That was kind of like 2021, 2020 podcasting. And personally, I still love the way they look and I think they're cool. But I guess other people are over it, I guess, for the most part. But so I would say, I mean, first off, if you're choosing between posting an audiogram and posting nothing, definitely post the audiogram, right? And there's a lot of AI that can help us where we kind of throw the audio at it and it can kind of create a nice audiogram for us. So definitely if you're choosing between, I would say even choosing between like only always posting a static image and audiograms, I would say mix it up between those two. Go with the idea of the explainer video too, where it's audio and then it has like the graphics. But what I would really do is record the video of your podcast. If it's audio only, I would say still record the video too. And then just don't have that pressure that like you need to look amazing or, you know, have everything together visually the whole time. Just have in mind that from, for example, from a 1 hour podcast episode, from my experience, and also from my experience having guest experts on at the Podcast Man for talking for about an hour, I can usually grab like 5 or 6 short video clips from 1 hour. And that's like 5 or 6 posts. And it's 30 seconds, 1 minute long posts. And these are video. So I don't know if your question is saying like, these people are absolutely not recording video. In that case, just go with kind of the first part of this answer. But if it's people who are thinking like, I'm not going to post my full episode video, I'm not going to do that, you don't have to worry about video editing the whole thing. You just, and you can even use AI to help you determine like if you forgot or you don't have time to listen back and say like, oh, these are the key points or the like salient clips I want to pull out. There's AI that can help you. And from my experience, sometimes it's kind of helps, and sometimes it's full of hot air, but either way, it can kind of help us, which is kind of AI in general, right? Sometimes it has the right idea and sometimes it doesn't know what it's talking about. But that's a whole other episode we could talk about, but we need the human touch still. We need the human touch, but AI can help. But exactly like you said, Manali, and listener, this is the cool thing. You don't have to video edit the whole thing, you know? Just grab those little clips and edit those little clips. That's going to save a lot of time, but it's still going to allow you to get short video clips on your socials, which in this day and age, I would say 99% of podcasters, it's a good idea.
Secret formula.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Zach. I'm going to close this conversation with last question is, how do you define the success of a podcast for someone who's beginning and someone who's intermediate, like done about, say, 100, 150 episodes? What does success look like at every stage?
Yeah, that's a great question. Perfect question to wrap up with, too. The KPIs, right? Key performance indicators. But do we only look at statistics and analytics? No, we do not only look at the statistics and the analytics, because, yeah, see, we are on the same page, because they can help guide us and they can help us compare ourselves this month to how we did last month or a couple months ago. But success as a podcaster can have so many different, you know, terms and ways of looking at it. Maybe success for you is connecting with people on a deeper level, the guests that you have on. Just think, as a podcaster, you have guests in your podcast that maybe it would be hard to book an hour with them to talk. You know, maybe you'd have to pay that person, or maybe it would be hard to get on their calendar. But when it's a podcast, they're more likely to come onto your podcast and you get to have a deep conversation with them, right? And then you are creating authentic connections with your listeners. I have clients who have their podcast gets under 100 listens per month and they still get leads. So that's their KPI, their key performance indicator, is they get leads from their podcast. So they're not even looking at their stats. They say, hey, as long as I get a new lead or a new client every 2 to 3 months, that's paying for the podcast and then some. So maybe, like my podcast that I have for my clients, the Clients Only Podcast, maybe the idea there is that when I do those episodes, it forces me to learn more. So for me, that's a indicator of success. It forces me to learn more so I can teach my clients. So a successful podcast, it means so many different things, but it does not only mean the stats and the analytics. So we need to remember that.
How is the podcast serving you and your business is basically what Zach wants to emphasize here. And with that, we come to the end of this conversation. Thank you so much, Zach, for all your patience and my camera not supporting our recording timing. I'll probably rephrase it. But anyways, thank you so much, Zach. I had a lovely chat with you, and I look forward to collaborating more in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Manali. And thank you, everybody who's listening. And it has been so fun talking to you about this stuff. I could keep chatting all morning, and I'm kind of sad that we're done talking, but we will chat soon. And of course, best wishes to you, and keep on rocking and rolling in the podcast space. Thank you.